Bruce Wayne is seen nationwide, daily on Fox, ABC, CBS, and independent TV stations across the United States. And now, Bruce and his team of 22 medical doctors, scientists, and fitness experts team up for the Armageddon Weight Loss Show. Join us for the next hour and learn why doctors, physical therapists, dietitians, and a gazillion nurses all use Armageddon Weight Loss. Now, your host and founder of Armageddon Weight Loss, Bruce Wayne.
Bruce Wayne is arguably one of the most qualified weight loss experts in the world. Bruce Wayne is seen on TV daily nationwide on CBS, ABC, Fox, the CW, Warner Brothers affiliates, and independent TV stations across the U.S. He's the founder and creator of Armageddon Weight Loss DVD program sold nationwide and internationally, including Brazil, India, Canada, and the United Kingdom. Bruce Wayne has worked on the bone marrow transplant, lung transplant, and burn and trauma intensive care units at Harvard Medical School Teaching Hospital. He is a champion weightlifter and has over 30 years of experience in the health and wellness field. His medical team is comprised of 22 medical doctors, scientists, fitness experts, and champion athletes. Bruce Wayne is also author of 13 books on weight loss and other health topics, and his client Carlos from right here in Atlanta lost over 238 pounds and trained for the 2016 Olympics. I am Jennifer Green, your co-host.
And I'm Bruce Wayne, and welcome to the Armageddon Weight Loss Show. Our company's growing, and we were considering a business relationship with a very large investment brokerage company to invest in our company. Woohoo. However, we decided not to pursue doing business with them after learning that they were funding another company that was very much misleading the public, in our opinions. Employer-run wellness programs have become very popular these days. Large corporations are hiring numerous companies to come in and provide so-called wellness programs to their employees. These wellness programs are often provided, many having relationships with your insurance provider. Perhaps you're familiar with your employer bringing in a company to do a blood draw or providing a health coach to help you to improve your health markers. On the surface, it sounds quite noble and a quite noble endeavor. However, based on our observation, these so-called employer-based wellness programs appears to be spending a whole lot of time identifying the obvious that you might be unhealthy and need help, much of which you already know if you were, you know, visiting your doctor or your primary care doctor on a consistent basis. Certainly one can argue that for, you know, someone who's not being proactive, having an employer-based wellness program is something that would be beneficial in helping you to perhaps catch something along the way. So I'm not going to say there is not a value in there. However, here's what I want to talk about a little bit more. About 5 to 6 years ago, I remember my guys putting together a business plan that we presented to an employer. And what we showed them was a business model where they could save about $60 million over 5 years just simply by really implementing an employer-based wellness program that was really scientifically based. I remember my colleagues saying, okay, Bruce, I will do the heavy lifting of setting up the relationship between the insurance company and the employers, and you can take care of that little unimportant thing, getting the people healthy. Now, that's part of the problem that I see out there, taking care of the little unimportant thing, which is just life, you know, and being healthy. How important could that be? Well, 5 years later, looking back, not much really has changed in that area. When we were reviewing this large corporation that we were trying to develop a business relationship, what we came across is that they were doing more or less the same thing. They were identifying the problem, doing blood draws, etc., and say, hey, guess what? You're unhealthy. Your cholesterol is high, which you probably already knew. But in the process of that, they were getting a whole lot of money from the employers, you know, so they're getting a boatload of money. But the problem is that the employees' health markers were not really improving that much. So part of what I'd like to talk about today, let me give you a real life example. Have you seen this in your company? Employers, listen up. If you're doing this, for God's sakes, give me a call. This will not deliver the level of results you're looking for. Yes, you'll get some marginal results and everyone will pat each other on the back. And you will give a great speech about how great your employer wellness program is doing. But overall, you're really not going to be getting a real turnaround on your investment. So tell me if this makes sense. Employers are employees. If your job is offering you a pedometer, a Fitbit, an exercise band, spending a fortune on standing desk, nap rooms, and a coach, translation, a few gadgets, slinky, and a coach, I can almost tell you what the outcome will be. Your employees will lose the first round of weight. Then they'll get stuck. Have nominal success. Your employers will pat themselves on the back. The company providing the wellness program will get a boatload of money. And ultimately, the employees who have been provided with a program that is not really truly scientific and holistic will end up getting all those unhealthy chronic diseases that they were on their way to in the first place. So let me give you a funny story that happened a few years ago. A few years ago, I was coaching a client of mine, and he was a CEO of a pretty prominent insurance company, a national insurance carrier, and they happened to be housed in the building where I was coaching pretty much every company in the building. We were responsible for the wellness program for the entire facility. And while we were there, this particular insurance company, they were head-on competing with another well-known, you know, that company with the cow on it. I can't say who they are. Filet. Well, that's all I can say. They were competing head-on to see who is going to become the healthiest company in Atlanta, fittest company in Atlanta. Now, I can't talk about that Filet company because I don't know what they were doing on their end, but I knew what the other guys were doing. And when I looked at their employees, because we had in this facility multiple companies in there, so I had a sort of cross-section of the population in my class, and this is face-to-face, so I'm looking at these people. And what was pretty interesting is that of all the employees from all the companies, these employees were the most out-of-shape, deconditioned people out of all of them. They had what was called a Wednesday walk, and they walked for like 20 minutes, and then they got points for putting on their seat belts. And yeah, I'm not saying that you shouldn't put your seat belt on, but it was all these little checkpoints that they were checking these boxes. And at the end of it, lo and behold, I was shocked. They actually won fittest company in Atlanta, and the president was able to go out and give a speech to everyone, which was my client, and he was doing well, but they weren't. So the point is, look, it all sounds good on the surface, and you can give yourself all these credits and recognition, but the bottom line is that if you have a company and your company is not delivering, okay, and you're just getting marginal results, you need to call me. We need to talk about a much more scientific-based process where you're not just getting marginal results where they're losing the first 15 and 20 pounds and then you get stuck and everyone is looking at the data. And it really is not translating. We'll talk a little bit more about this later on. So last week on our show, many of you may remember that we had Jeff Davis, Vice President and General Manager for Newstalk 1160, the talk of the town, as our guest. We had a great time, and we wanted to continue our conversation with Jeff. Plus, my co-host Jennifer Green is back from her time away, so I wanted to continue our conversation and interview with Jeff and also have Jennifer chime in as usual. As you know, Newstalk 1160 is home to Atlanta's strongest Newstalk radio lineup. Newstalk 1160 has the strongest lineup in Atlanta radio with a full schedule of critically acclaimed award-winning hosts from across the country. Our weekday lineup includes Don Imus, Laura Ingram, Bo Bach, Charlie Rose, and more. And you can also listen to CBS News on the Hour and also Clemson and Notre Dame on the weekend as far as football is concerned. If you're a football fan, you got to check it out. The show is awesome. And also, you can listen to Vice President and General Manager Jeff Davis on the weekend on his show Atlanta Business. So we're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Jeff Davis, Vice President and General Manager for Newstalk 1160, the talk of the town.
Welcome back to the Armageddon Weight Loss Show. To learn more, go to ArmageddonWorld.com.
So welcome back to the Armageddon Weight Loss Show. I'm your host, Bruce Wayne. Always keep in mind that Armageddon Weight Loss is the most personalized and scientific-based weight loss fitness program on the market. It was developed by a team of 22 medical doctors, scientists, fitness experts, and champion athletes. All programs are personalized based on your fitness level. So if you want to get toned, get rid of your cellulite, lose a bunch of weight, and sort of get into the witness protection program because you will not look the same after we're finished with you, Armageddon Weight Loss is the product that you want to give a try. So you can go to Armageddon Weight Loss at ArmageddonWorld.com. That's ArmageddonWorld.com. So anyway, let's continue our conversation.
Our guest today is Jeff Davis, Vice President and General Manager for News Talk 1160, the talk of the town. So welcome back to Armageddon Weight Loss, Jeff.
Thank you. Great to be here, Bruce.
So today's show topic is a false sense of security. So what we're talking about here is that we know that there is a huge benefit to employers getting involved in preventive healthcare process along with the insurance provider. There's a benefit there because the insurance provider certainly get to lower the cost that they're spending, and the employer doesn't also have to put out a lot of money when that employee starts getting sick. There's a host of things that sort of, you know, can drive up the cost. However, the question is, how effective are these programs and solutions? And what we're looking at, and the data is pointing to, is that the solutions, while this is a good idea, the way that these solutions are presented, in fact, they're using outdated models and fragmented solutions. Let me give you some data points to consider. I may have mentioned this before on our last show. Approximately 133 million Americans has a chronic disease. A chronic disease is generally incurable and ongoing, such as diabetes or heart disease, so it certainly gets worse over time. So out of that 133 million people, 117 million of them are actual adults, American adults. Here's the kicker. 70% of the people who die each year actually die from a chronic disease. So if you consider 117 million people and you say, well, what is 70% of that? Well, that's 81,900,000 people that will most likely die prematurely or have a poor quality of life from heart disease, strokes, etc. Now, if somebody came up to you and say, look, 81,900,000 people are going to die, would you think that's kind of urgent? Yet you don't see the urgency out there. You don't see people panicking in the way that there is a terrorist attack. It's all over the news everywhere. There's a lot of flashpoint subject that pops up. I'm not saying that they're not important, because if it's your family member who got injured or killed, certainly you care. So we're not saying it's not a false choice between one or the other. The point, though, is that it's still 81,900,000 people. That could include your family member as well. So that's really sort of what we're talking about. So, Jeff, did you suffer from a false sense of security about your health and what is it going to take to really sort of get you back on track?
Absolutely. Because I was a workout maven, working out constantly, and I would jog and things like that. And yet, well, like you just said before, my weight was gradually going up. But despite that, I figured, well, I'm working out regularly. You know, my pulse is nice and low. I can run 3-4 miles. I must be in pretty good shape.
Did you actually really know what was required to lose weight? Full disclosure, folks, Jeff's just started on our program, the Armageddon Weight Loss Program, about maybe 3.5, almost 4 weeks ago now. So his perspective is going to be a little bit different. But I want to sort of go back a little bit to do a little bit of forensic to get some feedback as to where Jeff was and where he is now. So did you feel like you really knew what was required then versus what you know now already?
Not at all. I didn't have a clue, actually. I just thought, well, I need to eat a little less. And I started eating a little bit less, but it wasn't really bringing the results that I needed to. I think I needed to learn more about the science that's involved in losing weight, which is something I was totally unfamiliar with.
I think a big part of what happens is that people at some point identify the point that they need to get some help. But then the question is, where do you go? What direction do you turn? Do you find that to be the case, Jennifer?
I think people really don't know where to start. Or they say, like, kind of Jeff, like, oh, I'll just eat a little less, or I'll just exercise a little more. But without guidance, they're just going to end up yo-yoing and back in the same place, oftentimes gaining more weight.
Yeah, you see that quite a lot. In fact, a lot of times what I see is people, they decide, well, I need to do something, so they join the gym. Of course, join the gym does, like I've said in the past, it doesn't mean the minute you get that membership, all of a sudden there's a vast amount of knowledge like the Matrix that's downloaded in your brain, and all of a sudden you're like, ha-ha, I know how to work out. It doesn't really work like that. So you go in there, and then you realize something very obvious. You're lost. And so in Jeff's case, take a guess at it. If you were working out as an athlete back when you were younger, you sort of go back to those things that you did before, kind of in college or in high school. Did you find that you were going back to those types of workouts?
Yes, but in those days, I could eat anything I wanted and I wouldn't gain a pound. So it was a very different me than it is today.
Oh, the good old days.
The good old days.
So here's a story that actually recently I had a client who actually called me last night, true story. And she said, you know, she bought our program, but then, you know, sometime you're excited in the moment to buy something and then life kind of gets in the way and you sort of procrastinate on it. So what happened is she actually said to me, she says, Bruce, you know, I set aside the program, but then I actually went to visit a family member in the hospital. And the family member that was in the hospital, the husband, he actually had his legs amputated. He was morbidly obese. He had diabetes. It was not good.
Ooh,
and so,
awful.
Yeah, it is. But here's what happened. She says his wife had a massive heart attack and died.
While he was in the hospital?
Yeah, well, yeah. And they were thinking that he was the one that was on his way out. It turned out that she's the one that ended up out of the universe.
The picture, yeah.
Yeah. So thing is that sometimes we can be busy trying to help someone else and not paying attention to our own health.
Well, caregivers often, you know, just the stress of caregiving and what they go through, they don't have time to exercise, they don't eat right, they're so busy taking care of someone else. So that's a really good point.
Yeah, I remember Mary Pat Vetter on our show the last time around was saying that she was involved in the largest women's study that involved over 250,000 nurses. And she was sending blood work to these guys to the study for over 30 years. So it's one of the most well-documented study that was done. And the end of it, well, it's not ending, it's continuous. But the latest results show that over 60% of the nurses, and this was only nurses, so they selected nurses because they felt like nurses had the best capacity and training to be able to deliver consistently the blood work and documentation required. And after 30 years, what they found was that 60% of the nurses were either overweight or obese, and only 2% of the nurses were actually doing anywhere close to what they should be doing. So it just goes to show that, look, you can have all the experience in the world in some areas. You can take care of a lot of people, but it doesn't mean that you're doing a good job taking care of yourself.
And I know that goes back to what you talk about a lot on the show, is just what our medical professionals are being trained about. You know, when they're in nursing school, when they're in medical school, they're just not learning about nutrition and fitness.
Yes. So, Jeff, how much weight have you lost so far in your almost 4 weeks at this point?
20 pounds.
That's terrible. He's already losing weight. We're going to get him to disappear, folks. You won't be able to recognize him in a few if he keeps it up. So what are some of the biggest changes you've noticed so far?
Well, there's a lot to choose from. Well, my clothes are looser. That might not sound significant to a lot of people, but it's very important to me. You know, because my clothes were always very tight when I was heavy like this. So, you know, my belt was on the last loop, you know. And, you know, it was uncomfortable. I was putting holes in the elbow of my shirt, I think, because I was too big for the shirt. I'd outgrown the shirt. Not in a muscular way either, in a non-muscular, in a fat way, things like that. That was one of the things that I noticed right away. But also, no doubt, you drop 20 pounds, you're more energetic. You take a 20-pound weight and pick it up, that's a lot of weight that you're carrying around, that you're not carrying anymore. Big difference.
Well, you know, what's really interesting is that people don't realize that sometimes they say, well, I don't have the money to spend to buy a program. And you go, well, how much money are you going to spend buying more clothes because you can't fit into the ones that you have to begin with? So, you know, sometimes you're really sort of, you're looking at what you are going to spend, but not what you're going to get. And in many cases, the get in this case is that you're getting back your health. And I mean, it's only your health. I mean, how important could that really be?
Yeah, really.
So are there any issues in your family, weight-related issues in your family? And also you, Jennifer?
Go ahead, Jen.
In my family, no, not really. Honestly, not. My parents were both, even though it was back in the day, I mean, my dad, I have images of him doing his little treadmill in the 70s and his little rowing machine. So my parents were always kind of health conscious.
Yeah, but my parents, well, I remember when I was a little kid, they were thin. Okay, so my dad was 175 pounds. He was 5'10". I don't know what my mom was, but she was thin. But you know how they say, like, you gain like an average of, let's say, 10 pounds per decade? That's exactly what happened to them. Before my dad got cancer and died, he was up to, I think, about 250 pounds. So over 5 or 6 decades, he gained about 10 pounds per decade. My mother did too. She never got like as high as he was. But there were definitely weight issues in our home. Also the children, the three boys. We all have the weight problem. I think a lot of it, by the way, Bruce, is just the diet we were raised on, because our parents weren't really conscious about health.
Well, you know, it's really funny because I don't have the data points with me here, but we talked about in one of our other shows that, in fact, when parents are overweight and out of shape, their children are also overweight and out of shape. Because essentially what you're doing is you're feeding your kids the same thing. And if you don't really know how to eat properly, even when you're trying and you're thinking you're eating healthy, many times the food you're eating, it just has a fancy name on it, but it's still unhealthy.
You know, one of the things I've said, I think I've mentioned this to you, Jennifer, is a lot of times you see these families, they're very heavy, the parents, and they have these small children, and the children are very heavy too, and it's kind of sad to see. And I'm not kidding. I think we've even talked about this.
I know, Jennifer, what you're going to say next.
Go ahead.
The dog is heavy too.
Yes, yes. The dog is, I've seen it too. And the poor little dog, sometimes I've seen them, you know, putting the dog on a treadmill, trying to get the dog to lose weight.
Now, how about when you see someone who's not in shape, overweight, on a golf cart, and the dog is walking?
And the dog is going, take a hint. Okay, come on. So did you suffer from any fitness-related issues because of your weight?
Absolutely. Well, one of them, if I can just backtrack a second. So today we're pre-recording. It's August 4th. So on June 5th, I weighed myself for the first time in 3.5 months. I got a physical in February, and they weighed me at that time, and I saw that I gained about 5 pounds, 4 or 5 pounds from my terrible weight to begin with. But I'd put on, you know, I'd packed on an extra 4 or 5 pounds. Then I weighed myself 3.5 months later, which I think was a mistake to wait so long to weigh myself and not monitor it. You and I have talked about this, Bruce. So on June 5th, I'd gained another probably 5, 6, 7 pounds on top of that. And I was really freaking out. And it was just kind of a perfect storm because my doctor was checking my blood sugar because I was kind of teetering on diabetes, okay? And then he had me check my blood sugar monitor again, you know, 3 months after that exam. So it was right around then. And it was the highest it had ever been. And it was right on the brink of diabetes. So my weight, my blood sugar reading, that was a huge wake-up call for me. And I will tell you, coincidentally, Bruce, you came along. You came along about a month before all this. And Jennifer had been talking to me about, you and I have been listening to the radio show. And Jennifer had been talking, you know, Bruce. And then finally, I interviewed you one day for my weekend show, Atlanta's Business. And you know, at the end of the show, I said to you, okay, we need to talk. I said, this has nothing to do with the radio show. It has nothing to do with the radio station. I need your help. Correct?
Well, yeah, you did. And the thing is, I want to be full disclosure, ladies and gentlemen. What I want you to keep in mind, typically what happens is that whenever you hear a conversation like this on the air, it's usually a setup, okay? You know, Jeff is in on the deal and Jennifer is in on the deal and it's a really a pitch to you and you so everybody can make money here. But that's not really what happened. We don't have a business deal here. This is just Jeff who needed some help and he purchased our program just like anybody else. I've not treated him any different from I've treated any of my other clients as well. He's been on the program. It's only been 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks, maybe almost four at this point. 20 pounds is not a lot at this point in the bigger scheme of things, but he's just starting the process. And what you have to think about is watch him over time. You can hold him accountable. See if his weight still keeps coming off. And that will kind of give you, now I'm really putting Jeff on the spot here because I'm holding his feet to the fire. But the point is that what you're going to notice over time is that Jeff is losing weight and he's going to continue to lose weight and he's going to continue to be fitter. Because when you have a hard science involved in the equation, that's really sort of what happens. We're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Jeff Davis and also my co-host, Jennifer Green.
Welcome back to the Armageddon Weight Loss Show. To learn more, go to ArmageddonWorld.com.
Welcome back to the Armageddon Weight Loss Show. I am your host, Bruce Wayne. Today, our guest is Jeff Davis, Vice President and General Manager for Newstalk 1160, the talk of the town. Today's show topic is a false sense of health security. Essentially, what we're talking about is, you know, employer-based programs that sort of, you know, they trivialize the process that's required in order to be able to deliver the outcome. Essentially, what the focus is on the diagnosis component of it, which already exists out there. You can go to your doctor, your primary care doctor, and have them run the blood draws and the tests and tell you that your cholesterol is high, etc. That component already exists. The question is, what do you do after? And so what we see in a lot of these employer-based wellness programs is that they're giving you the Fitbit and the pedometer, and you know you're getting the special table, the stand-in table, and they're spending hundreds of dollars on these things, and they're giving you a coach that's poorly trained. And the data point is not really reflecting that these programs are actually working. Let me give you some actual data point here. 80% of employers offering wellness program, and by the way, let me back up and say that this data came from a website called healthcarefinance.com. And here's what it stated. It said that 80% of employers are offering wellness and health programs across the country, and they're spending on average a record $693 per worker, according to the survey by Fidelity Investment and the National Business Group on Health. That's up from $495 last year and $430 in 2010. So they're clearly investing more and more money into their employees. Large companies with more than 20,000 employees are also spending the most, some $878 per week, up from $717 in 2014, while mid-sized firms with between 5,000 to 20,000 are spending $660, up from $493 last year, according to the survey. The article also states that there is the issue of whether employees end up in better health after doing these programs, depending on the features of the program and the incentives involved, all of which remains to be seen. There's also the question of whether wellness programs are paying off for employers. On the front end, data collected in the Population Health Alliance and Health Enhancements Research Organization report casts the return on investment in doubt. Estimated program costs at $1.50 per covered member per month, with a savings of just $1 per month. The article further states that they have found that program's participation is associated with statistically significant improvement in biometric markers like BMI, health-related behaviors like smoking and exercise. But they also found that those changes are not large enough, and the relationship between health risk and spending too weak to result in reduction of healthcare costs, let alone in return on investment. This is what I've been saying from the very beginning, that my observation over 5 years ago, I noticed that a lot of these employer-based wellness programs were spending a boatload of money on these healthcare programs, these employer-based programs in the workplace. But the focal point of it is on identifying a problem. But there is not a lot of focus on actually what do you do, the treatment component. How do you get people to actually be healthy? And instead, what we see a lot are quick fixes. So I wanted to continue my conversation with Jeff. So Jeff, I want to get a better understanding of how do you feel on your journey with the Armageddon Weight Loss Program. Tell me, from the beginning, how you got started, et cetera. Maybe that will help people to see, from a different perspective, how do you actually approach a solution as opposed to just identifying a problem?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I mean, I always thought I was in very good shape. There was a lot of things that I didn't know. But one thing that I did know was that, and I told you this, Jennifer, whatever I was doing before wasn't working. So, I mean, you can fool yourself into thinking, well, gee, I'm lifting weights and I'm jogging and all these kinds of things. But for some reason or another, my weight is going up, my blood sugar is going up, my blood pressure is going up, my cholesterol is going up. Whatever I was doing wasn't working. Okay. Now, Jennifer, you and I had lunch together yesterday, you, Sharon, and I. We had lunch together. I mean, have you seen kind of a change, though, in like what I'm eating, how fast I'm eating, things like that? I mean,
tremendous.
Do you mind elaborating on that?
I've worked with Jeff for almost 10 years. September will be 10 years. So we've had a lot of lunches together throughout the years. And Jeff enjoys food. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Everyone does. But Jeff really loves, just to sit down. It's his break. It's his relaxation for the day. And whereas before Jeff met Bruce, sitting down in a restaurant, he may have ordered the side order of macaroni and cheese, and he may have had something that involved a lot of bread, a big sandwich, with a side of potato salad or french fries. He went right for the salmon salad. He asked which salad dressing was, the least fattening, had the least amount of calories. He measured it out. It's a complete turnaround.
Also, one of the things, too, is tell them about this. Tell our audience. if you can describe it.
Well, here's the visual. Jeff has big, long arms, and when he's eating, I guess he, you know, growing up with two brothers, he felt the need to protect his place at the table and what he was eating. So that big arm kind of lopes around, circles around his plate.
Caveman.
Yeah, like a fence.
Protecting my kill here. And but you know, I'll tell you another thing, though, that is amazing is, now, because I'm monitoring what I eat, I'm watching what I eat, at the end of the day, I'm able to say to myself, and boy, this happened yesterday, it happened the day before, hey, I won the battle today. So I never thought that way in the past. I never thought about that. To me, it was like I would eat without any remorse. You know, I'll worry about it tomorrow. Now, at the end of the day, I'm saying to myself, wow, I won the battle today.
And isn't it nice to not have any regrets for the day? Like, know that you
absolutely
ate healthy and ate the right foods, and you don't have to think twice about, did I put on weight today? You know, you know you're doing the right thing.
Well, you know, the thing about it also is that, you know, it's most people know that they need to eat healthy. And a lot of time when I go to the supermarket, I'll see people with all the stuff that's supposed to be healthy on their cart. Many times it's not healthy, but it looks healthy. And I think one of the things that you talked about, Jeff, was, you know, knowing, I remember that interview and you were saying, look, I really don't know what to eat. And I think that's important because, you know, knowing that you need help, but not knowing what that help is and not having the right advice from the right people. You know, if you walk into a room with a bunch of your buddies, everybody's going to tell you, hey, you know what you should do? Okay, followed by a litany of things that they're going to require or tell you that you should have. In many cases, they're mostly wrong.
Do you know something? My age group, my friends, the conversation's usually like, how's your blood pressure these days? You know, what's your cholesterol number? How many pills you taking for this? How many pills you taking for that? That's the situation. And they think, by the way, if they take a pill that lowers their cholesterol, they can eat all they want because, well, the pill lowers my cholesterol. I don't have to worry about it.
Well, we've normalized pharmacological solutions now. So at this point, anytime you have a problem, essentially the first thing you reach for is that drug. You say, hey, you know, I've gotten to this certain point in my life. I'm at this age. It's time for all the drugs and medication. So you sort of get to a place where you've come to accept that this is the norm, but it's not the norm and it should never be the norm. Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Jeff Davis and my co-host, Jennifer Green.
Welcome back to the Armageddon Weight Loss Show. To learn more, go to ArmageddonWorld.com.
Welcome back to the Armageddon Weight Loss Show. I am your host, Bruce Wayne. Today's show topic, a false sense of health security. I think most people are guilty of this. Most of you out there are guilty of this. It's the part where when it's time to actually get in shape, you sort of trivialize how it gets done. You sort of wing it. You go talk to your buddy, you buy that little workout DVD, or, you know, you go to your employer and, you know, their idea of a employer wellness-based program is to sort of, you know, give you a pedometer. They certainly have a few fitness challenges. They give you that stand-in desk, and they give you a coach, which is usually very unqualified. And you may lose the first markers there. Your health markers might improve marginally. But what happens is that when you start looking at the data, a lot of these employers are spending a lot of money on their employees, but it doesn't look like they're getting a good return on the investment. And the reason for that is because a vast majority of the money is being spent on identifying the problem, doing the diagnosis, which already exists anyway. You can go to your primary care doctor and figure that out. In fact, you can just take your clothes off and stand in front of the mirror. You'll know you're unhealthy. That'll be pretty obvious. But where the lack of resources is in the scientific data that's required and the process that you need to go through in order to actually truly get healthy so that employer can really get a true return on investment. You know, there's a difference between losing 10 or 15 pounds versus losing 40, 50, 60, 70, 100 pounds. That's what your employer wants. That's what the individual wants. That's where there's a win-win-win, where you really are getting a return on your investment because everybody's saving money. The employee's not getting that sick. They're sharper at work. Presenteeism is what I guess they call it. You're being much more effective in your work. And I would argue that if you're healthier, your brain's going to work better and you're probably going to be more creative as well, too. So, Jeff, let's continue our conversation here. I want to talk a little bit. Sleep has been in the news a lot lately. And so let's talk a little bit about this. How's your sleep pattern? How does it compare now? And how's it compared then? Are you being able to sleep a little bit better so far?
Okay, I've got to bring Jennifer into this again. Because Jennifer knows, I've been telling Jennifer and Sharon, our operations manager, Sharon Eshmore, that I was going to bed. I'd come home and I'm exhausted. You know, sleepy. Not like tired, like fatigued, but sleepy. Come home and I can't wait to go to sleep. I go to bed at, 7:30, 8 o'clock at night, and wake up in the middle of the night. You know, because of my sleep, this is before I was on Armageddon, my sleep pattern was disturbed, I think, by my eating habits. Now, I mean, it sounds like a baby, but I sleep through the night, a month into it. I sleep all through the night. I wake up in the morning, and I'm an early riser. I wake up and I'm refreshed. I feel great. I think I told you the other day, Jennifer, I'm zipping around the house, doing things around the house.
That's fantastic.
I wasn't before. But hadn't I told you and Sharon that I'd been like waking up in the middle of the night?
Yeah.
Folks, I just realized something. Now Jennifer has to put up with a fit, active Jeff who's running all over the place with too much energy now. She's going to have to give him his Ritalin or something.
Thanks, Bruce.
Oh, you're welcome. So what about the middle of the day? Are you feeling sluggish in the middle of the day?
No. And this is, boy, I'm glad you brought this up, because this was perhaps the biggest problem I was having, just like from a practical standpoint, Bruce, is that like after lunch, because I'd eat a huge lunch, as Jennifer attested a few minutes ago. After lunch, I wanted to go home and take a nap. I wanted to close the door. I have a sofa in my office. I wanted to close the door and take a nap for an hour. And I was feeling very fatigued. Now, because of the way that I'm eating, I'm not tired at all when I'm done lunch. I'm not hungry, and I'm not tired. And I can get as much done. Before, I was very much a morning person again. I'd get the important work I'd get done in the morning because I knew that I was going to be so tired in the afternoon. Now I'm working straight on through. It's great. Wonderful.
So Jennifer, why do you think so many men, you've seen this a lot, why do you think they wing it so much? Why do you think so many people wing it on their workout instead of getting help? What do you think that's
because
all about?
I think they think all the illness and the numbers you were talking about before, the strokes, it all happens to someone else. It's not about them. It's about someone else. And they just figure, I'm okay. I could fit into these, I don't know, whatever typical pant size are for men. If I could fit into this, or I can run, my 3 miles a couple of times a week, I'm fit. I don't need to do anything. I haven't had a heart attack yet.
Yeah. No, that's so true, because, my parents both died of cancer. They were both overweight. My older brother's had a heart attack, or I think he's had two heart attacks, and he's had stents put in, and he's still way overweight. But I kept saying to myself, well, this isn't going to happen to me. Well, why not? What's so special about me? If you look at my readings, as I described before, they were terrible. And I was, it was a perfect storm. I was headed for disaster.
And one other thing, a lot of men, because I've seen this happen to several people in my neighborhood, they don't go to the doctor for their regular checkups. They're not doing what you say, like to monitor even once a year. And then, God forbid, a couple years down the line, after not going to the doctor, they're very sick and find themselves fighting for their lives.
I was always, what's the point? It's like when I go to the barber and they're done cutting my hair and they say, you want to see the top, the back? I go, no need to. What's the point?
Well, and a lot of doctors, a lot of people that I know will also say, well, I don't like doctors. And what's really fascinating? You'll see this guy out there and he's actually scrubbing his car and checking the wax on it or painting his house. And sometimes these guys are very industrious. The thing is that they're taking care of everything else, but they don't have a moment to take care of themselves. It's not very logical. You're saying your car is more important. You're saying your house is more important. You're saying everything else is more important than that thing that matters most, your health. Because remember, you can't see your daughter graduate. You can't see your granddaughter grow up. You can't see your kid walk down the aisle or get that job on the air like Jeff here or myself. You can't see your family grow up. What is that worth to you? Even if you're selfish or selfless and decide it's not important for you to get healthy, well, do it for your kids. Do it because it matters, because you want to experience a little bit more of life. I don't really think you should just kind of set it aside and just decide, hey, it's not important enough. I'm not going to go to the doctor. So, I believe that someday we're going to look back at this era as being the dark ages for preventive health care. I got my first U.S. patent when I was just 22 years old. That's a long time ago. I remember working with a number of engineers to build an automatic tub and shower cleaning unit. That's because I'm a guy and I didn't want to clean my tub and shower, so I figure I'd design a machine to clean it for me. A typical guy.
Wow.
So that was then, and I remember getting a patent attorney involved, and we spent about 2.5 years putting together this product, and I thought I was going to make a fortune off of it. But of course, you learn along the way, having a product alone is not enough. You need to have a comprehensive team around you. And so along the way, by the time I actually finished getting my U.S. patent, I learned so much about developing products and programs that I learned something very important. What I realized is that you need people from a wide variety of disciplines to come together. You know, I needed engineers to help me with the different engineering drawings and structures, etc. I needed, you know, to look at if there's any chemicals that's going to be involved, so maybe get a chemist involved in it. I need a video production person, etc. So when it came time, years later, from learning from that process, I went on to design lots and lots of medical and surgical products, and I got lots of U.S. patents along the way for a lot of medical manufacturers. I mean, when I say got them, I mean I personally invented them for a lot of medical manufacturers along the way. In addition, I also got a U.S. patent of my own on a medical and surgical and sports injury-related product line as well. But what I learned from that is what I brought to the development of Armageddon Weight Loss, that you need a multidisciplinary team of experts. And so we set out to do exactly that. And it took us a while to amass the 22 different medical doctors, scientists, fitness experts, and athletes to come together. And we searched globally from Canada, the Netherlands, Portugal, etc., to try to bring along the medical team. What we didn't know at the time when we started was how many medical doctors and experts would come forward needing help from us. Our medical and scientific board of advisors today who helped us to develop Armageddon Weight Loss includes 4 neuroscientists, 2 psychologists, 2 physicists, a biochemist, a health chemist, an endocrinology doctor, an OBGYN doctor, gastroenterology doctor, physical therapist, registered dietitian, champion athletes, and more people than I can list right now who are part of our team. Over 50% of Armageddon Weight Loss clients now work in the medical field. Numerous doctors, scientists, physical therapists, and a gazillion nurses, even highly qualified registered dietitians, now use Armageddon Weight Loss when they personally want to lose weight and get in shape. When tons of these individuals, doctors, nurses, physical therapists, and registered dietitians are using our program, you know it works, because these are the individuals who you typically go to when you want to get weight loss fitness advice. Now, if they're coming to us, that should tell you something. We're also very excited about the fact that we can make a contribution to help diabetics. So if you're a type 2 diabetic or a pre-diabetic, reach out to us. We've actually helped our client to be able to get off of all of their diabetic medication, a process that's called diabetic remission, when all signs of symptoms of your diabetes disappears. That's a definition according to the American Diabetic Association. But we actually have a new terminology. It's called chronic remission. Chronic remission means that we are trying to keep you in remission where you have no signs and symptoms of your diabetes over longer periods of time. Imagine being able to get off of all of your medications and to stay off of it. That's what we're talking about. If you'd like me to come by and speak at your company to help them motivate you and help to discuss how you can develop a wellness program that's much more scientific-based, what we call a doc science-based program, please reach out to us. Also, visit our website, ArmageddonWorld.com. That's ArmageddonWorld.com. You can also Google Armageddon Weight Loss. It's a blue website. When you get there, you will know you have arrived there, because you'll see people of all stripes and colors and qualifications that are using our program to get amazing results. Again, that's ArmageddonWorld.com. My name is Bruce Wayne, and stay fit.
You've been listening to the Armageddon Weight Loss Show with Bruce Wayne. To learn more, go to ArmageddonWorld.com.